Good morning and welcome to Simply Finance. It's Wednesday, March 27th. On today's show, social media users trust brands over influencers when it comes to finance, apparel, and skincare. Plus, an embattled LA developer accuses its financial chief of looting $40 million intended for homeless housing. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Finance. We start off with a recent study from Snap Inc. and IPG Magna that reveals social media users in select countries, including the US, UK, Australia, France, and Saudi Arabia, trust brands over influencers when it comes to finance, apparel, and skincare. This trend is most pronounced in the finance sector. Here to delve deeper into this topic is our correspondent, Michael. Can you tell us more about this study and its findings?
Certainly, David. The study titled Unleashing Influence, A Marketer's Guide to Influencer Success, surveyed 5,214 weekly social media users aged between 16 and 49 across five countries. The results showed a clear preference for brands over influencers in certain sectors, with finance leading the way.
That's interesting. Why do you think finance is the sector where this trend is most pronounced?
Well, finance is a sector where trust and credibility are paramount. People are generally more cautious when it comes to their money and financial decisions. They tend to rely on established brands that have a proven track record, rather than influencers who might not have the same level of expertise or credibility.
And how does this trend compare in other sectors like apparel and skincare?
The trend is similar in these sectors, but not as pronounced as in finance. While influencers do have a significant impact in these areas, especially when it comes to promoting new products or trends, the study found that consumers still tend to trust brands more.
What implications does this have for marketers and brands?
These findings highlight the importance of building and maintaining a strong brand reputation. While influencers can certainly play a role in marketing strategies, especially in reaching younger audiences, brands should not underestimate the value of their own credibility and trustworthiness. It's a reminder that in the end, consumers value substance and reliability.
Thanks for your insights, Michael. Shifting gears to the world of social media, a recent study from Snap Inc. and IPG Magna reveals an interesting trend. It appears that users in select countries, including the US, UK, Australia, France, and Saudi Arabia, trust brands more than influencers when it comes to finance, apparel, and skincare. This trend is most pronounced in the finance sector. Here to delve deeper into this study is our correspondent, Bella. Can you tell us more about this trend and what it means for brands and influencers?
Certainly, David. The study surveyed over 5,000 weekly social media users aged 16 to 49 across five countries. The results showed that when it comes to sectors like finance, apparel, and skincare, users tend to trust brands more than influencers. This is particularly evident in the finance sector.
That's interesting. Why do you think this trend is most pronounced in the finance sector?
Well, finance is a sector that deals with sensitive and personal information. It's also an area where decisions can have significant long-term impacts. Therefore, users are likely to place more trust in established brands that have a proven track record and are regulated by financial authorities. Influencers, on the other hand, may not have the same level of credibility or expertise in this field.
So, what does this mean for brands and influencers in these sectors?
For brands, this trend underscores the importance of building and maintaining trust with their audience. It also highlights the potential benefits of leveraging their own brand reputation rather than relying solely on influencers for promotion. As for influencers, this could mean they need to work harder to build credibility and trust, especially if they're operating in these sectors. They might need to demonstrate more transparency, expertise, and authenticity to gain the trust of their followers.
Thanks for that insightful report, Bella. In other financial news, Los Angeles developer Shangri-La Industries, already under scrutiny for unpaid debts, unfinished projects, and foreclosure threats, after receiving $114 million from the state to convert motels into housing for the homeless, is now accusing its former chief financial officer of embezzling millions of dollars. Here to discuss this further is James, a correspondent for Simply Finance. Can you tell us more about these allegations?
Certainly, David. Shangri-La Industries alleges that former CFO Cody Holmes engaged in bank fraud and check kiting in 2022 and 2023 with Shangri-La's lenders, banks, and brokers. The lawsuit, filed last month in Los Angeles Superior Court, seeks more than $40 million in damages and other costs. Holmes is accused of transferring company cash and property to bank accounts and shell companies he controlled, and to his suspected ex-girlfriend, Madeline Witt, who is also a defendant in the lawsuit.
What exactly was this money allegedly used for?
According to the lawsuit, Holmes used the money to fund an extravagant lifestyle. This included hosting lavish parties, covering $46,000 a month in rent at a leased home in Beverly Hills, regular travel on private jets, leasing exotic cars, and even a $12,000 student loan payment. He also allegedly purchased luxury items for himself and Witt, including designer handbags, a diamond necklace, a diamond watch, and VIP passes for the Coachella Music and Arts Festival.
What actions has Shangri-La taken in response to these allegations?
Shangri-La fired Holmes in January following an internal investigation. The company's attorneys have filed a suit seeking a temporary restraining order that would prevent Holmes from withdrawing money from 9 bank accounts he controls. However, a judge denied this request, but the lawyer plans to refile another motion.
What about the state's involvement in this?
The State Department of Housing and Community Development has provided Shangri-La Industries more than $114 million in home key funds to convert motels into permanent supportive housing for the homeless. However, the state sued Shangri-La Industries and its partners in the home key projects in January, alleging they breached their obligations by granting and recording deeds of trust to secure loans from third-party lenders without first obtaining the state's written authorization.
What has been the impact of these allegations and legal actions on Shangri-La's projects?
Several of Shangri-La's projects have been affected. Contractors and suppliers have stopped being paid, leading to dozens of mechanics liens totaling millions of dollars. Only 2 of Shangri-La's 7 home key funded projects have been completed and are now operating. The rest remain incomplete due to the fiscal malfeasance and mismanagement alleged in the lawsuit.
Thanks for the insights, James. Now let's pivot to a different aspect of finance, the role of artificial intelligence, or AI, in revolutionizing the payments and commerce sectors. Experts predict that AI will enhance information gathering, workflows, corporate governance, and more, specifically improving efficiencies in financial services. Here to discuss this further is Celeste, a correspondent for Simply Finance. Can you tell us more about how AI can help financial institutions?
Certainly, David. According to Aklia Jot, founder and general partner at venture capital fund Exponian, financial institutions will benefit from using AI in their anti-money laundering and fraud prevention efforts. Data from PwC Intelligence confirms this, showing that AI is already a tool of choice for financial institution executives looking to combat money laundering, bank fraud, and other illicit activities.
Can you give us some specifics on how AI is being used to combat fraud?
Absolutely. A recent report titled Financial Institutions Revamping Technologies to Fight Financial Crimes, created in collaboration with Hawk AI, revealed that financial crimes are on the rise. More than 40% of financial institutions surveyed say incidents of fraud are increasing, and 7 in 10 are now using AI and machine learning to fend off fraudsters. These technologies are part of a mix of tools that bank executives rely on to fight fraud, which also include in-house fraud prevention systems, third-party resources, and new technologies.
How does the use of in-house versus third-party resources vary among financial institutions?
The mix varies from one institution to the next. For instance, when it comes to alerting customers about questionable transactions, half of the financial institutions surveyed develop 50% or less of their alert technologies in-house, while 30% develop more than half in-house. Only 20% create those tools entirely in-house. This pattern is similar for most financial institutions, indicating a fluid mix of in-house and third-party developments.
What about the cost of developing these AI and machine learning tools?
Developing AI and machine learning tools can be costly, which is why only 14% of financial institutions say they build their own fraud-fighting AI and machine learning technologies. Nearly 30% say they rely entirely on third-party vendors to provide these tools. Similarly, just 11% of financial institutions develop their own APIs in-house, while 22% rely entirely on third-party API solutions.
So it seems that third-party technologies are playing a significant role in fraud prevention efforts.
Indeed, David. 80% of financial institutions say they use both in-house resources and third-party technology to identify and mitigate fraud. The remaining 20% prefer integrating third-party technology rather than developing their own. This trend is likely to continue, with third-party fraud prevention vendors who can successfully develop AI and machine learning-powered fraud prevention tools standing out in the coming months.
Thanks for that update, Celeste. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Finance. We'll see you back here tomorrow.